Maria Aquino with a look at what the St. Louis region needs for 2025. It's hard to believe we're turning another page on another year, and there's no one better than St. Louis City Health Director Dr. Mari Achuayo-Davis to talk about what a whirlwind it has been. As of right now, Dr. tells KMOX, she is figuring out what short and long term looks like for health and public health.
If we learned anything from the COVID-19 pandemic, it's that there has been, for quite some time now, and I'm talking decades in the making, a deprioritization of health and public health at the global, national, and local stage. Why do I say that? Well, because I think COVID and a couple of other epidemics since then have exposed a few things. We have lost 150,000 public health workers by the end of 2021. That's projected to be 250,000 by the end of next year. Public health workers are burnt out. COVID-19 exacerbated that. And we are losing people who want to come into this profession. But we know on the opposite end, right, the ability to respond to these critical priorities has to happen with a thriving workforce, has to happen with commitment to funding and policy and the infrastructure and the workforce capacity. Even day to day, there is clear data that says that you cannot have a healthy economy if they're not healthy. There are no police officers who we know have to be the priority, and especially in our city. There are no people to pick up our trash. There are no people to repair the streets if they are sick or dead. So even if that is not always the most easy to see, because it's, you know, health and public health are usually in the background. If we don't invest in them with intention, our communities will not thrive. The focus for me in the upcoming year is to make sure that we can focus on increasing health literacy. That means educating people on the importance of health and public health, making sure that the community continues to engage. I'm so proud of what my department has done to be more visible, my partnership with you all in the press, what we've done on our website, our social media, and our physical engagement. This department has reached out hundreds of community engaged events, showing up in person, touching people, talking to people, giving them their vaccine, giving them information, and teaching them in real time. So that's one big priority. The second is understanding that there are foundational aspects of public health that we need to make sure are strengthened. It's not always talked about. We're usually talking about vaccines or an outbreak, but our food inspectors, our animal care and control officers, our sanitation officers, these are the bread and butter of public health. And making sure I have a thriving workforce so that if any outbreak happens, whether it's pneumonia, COVID, flu, or something new, that we have the workforce to investigate and to help people. What does that need, though? It needs a critical prioritization to funding, to policy, to infrastructure development, and to workforce development for public health.
Doctor, you'll have a new administration coming in 2025, too. We know who is going to be Health and Human Services Secretary. Your concerns with what we just went through with the pandemic and all the negativism and how it was made so taboo, there were so many people against vaccinations, yeah. And what are your concerns with what's going to happen?
Listen, it's no secret that I think that health and public health have become politicized. It is my humble opinion that this has gone past reason in certain populations in our country, and that we need to go back to valuing expertise like we would anywhere. I don't think we would sit and have discussions and really think we can debate how to fix plumbing, how to fix a car. There are people who have had training to do these things, and we trust them to do them. And I cannot understand why, for health and public health, that's become debatable. We cannot make decisions about health and public health based on how we feel. And it is my humble opinion that one of the negative outputs of what happened with COVID and both main political parties, quite frankly, politicizing it, is that people think that politicians should be the primary level of expertise. So with this new administration, I'm committed to working with any leader, but it is imperative that the leaders actually have expertise in health and public health to drive those agendas. So that is my mainstay. Having said that, it's been, how long have we been out since the election? And the health department staff and my team, my incredible team, continue to show up every day. We continue to do what we do. So while there are a lot of, as I say to my children, big feelings about what happened, I can assure you that I, my incredible team that I've grown by just under 40% in less than 3 years, who have put millions of dollars back into community, who have shown up to hundreds of community events this year, are going to show up every day and continue to work. What I need, though, is the commitment from this community and the people who have influence over decision to empower us to be able to do that work so that we have healthy children and a healthy community to be able to do all the priorities we value so much.
And that doesn't happen without good physicians and good healthcare people in the public sector.
Exactly. Exactly.
I guess, personally, you with your children being here, this is year three for you now, is that right? Right?
Absolutely. Gosh, I love that you're keeping count.
I can't believe that.
October of 2021, and me and you have these deep discussions every single year. Can you believe you watch me grow as a leader?
Yeah, I mean, and blossom. And the time that you came up, though, what a time during that whole COVID thing. We couldn't even, I don't think we've ever even seen each other. Because we've always... talked on the phone.
That's insane.
I know.
Zoom in on the phone. I mean, we will be contending for decades to come with the impacts, both positive and negative, of that time. And unlike, you know, I don't have the luxury to sit and complain. And what I love about the team that I have is that regardless of the negative and the positives, we've got to chart a way to learn, to grow, and to continue to serve this incredible city. And I'm proud of some of the things. I mean, we've got the first ever behavioral health bureau under my leadership. We have the first urgent care for behavioral health. That's a national, I mean, we just give you breaking news. I just found out that this department got reaccredited without any findings. That's rare to find. I'm really appreciative to our commitment to work with the county. We had a regional approach to this. And so that reaccreditation is for the next 5 years. And one of the things I remember when they did their site visit, they couldn't believe that a health department of this size, quite frankly, very small for a city this size, we should be at least four times as larger for a city this size, has done what we've accomplished, been able to bring a behavioral health bureau, been able to give over 44,500 vaccines for COVID care, has been able to support community initiatives in the way that we have. So that really, we want to continue to build on that so that there is a beacon of light at times when that always isn't there. We know that Missouri has struggled and our city has struggled with maternal child health, with mental and behavioral health. And certainly at this time of year when I'm talking to you, respiratory illness season, flu, RSV, and COVID. And so those are our pressing priorities right now as well.
Congratulations, Doctor, and what a big advantage to St. Louis that you're here with us. That's St. Louis City Health Director, Dr. Mariah Chuayo Davis. I'm Maria Aquino for KMOX News.